Hello, and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time listening to the Guelph Politicast, welcome to the show. Guelph Politicast is an interview program where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel, on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Brian Munn, who owns and operates Royal Cat Records in downtown Guelph. If you like music, collecting music, and talking about music or nostalgia, then this podcast is going to definitely be for you. But first, I have my usual public service announcement. Recently, I launched a Patreon campaign for Guelph Politico. Through Patreon, you can contribute on a per-monthly basis of any amount you feel comfortable using PayPal or your credit card, and all that money goes to maintaining a locally sourced independent media outlet in Guelph called Guelph Politico. Through your generous donations, you will be paying to keep the Politicast going, as well as regular coverage of city council and politics in and around and concerning the Royal City. For more details, click on the giant orange P on the right-hand side of the Guelph Politico page, or go to patreon.com/Guelph Politico. Now on with the show. A week from this Saturday is Record Store Day, a yearly opportunity to enjoy and appreciate the independent stores where you can buy fine music, preferably on vinyl. When Record Store Day started nearly a decade ago, vinyl was niche, it was collectible, and it was only bought by a few holding on to that legitimate music format. But through tapes and 8-tracks and CDs and streaming and digital downloads, records have endured. And it's not even too far to say that vinyl may be single-handedly keeping the music industry alive. This is a day, says the Record Store Day website, for people who make up the world of the record store, the staff, the customers, and the artists, to come together and celebrate the unique culture of a record store and the special role these independently owned stores play in their communities. Guelph is fortunate enough to have two locations marking Record Store Day. One is the local branch of The Beat Goes On, and the other is Royal Cat Records. Located downstairs at 10 Carden Street, Royal Cat Records has evolved from being a small part of an antiques business to being an entire business on its own, coexisting next to Meow, a vintage and consignment shop operated by Brian Munn's partner, Kara. Now, Meow and Royal Cat, and yes, the cat theme is purposeful, enjoy offering Guelphites the best in new and used vinyl. The new Taylor Swift and previously enjoyed Golden Oldies sit on the shelf, if not side by side, definitely within eyesight of each other, at Royal Cat Records. So in this podcast, I talked to Munn about the challenges and rewards of owning a record store, how the business has bounced back, how the music scene in Guelph has changed in the last several years, and where he thinks his business is going to go in the not-too-distant future. So I caught up with Brian at Royal Cat Records in downtown Guelph. Brian Munn, thank you for joining me today.
It's great to be here.
So we are sitting in Royal Cat Records.
Yeah.
It's in the, I don't know, does this technically count as the basement of 10 Carden Street?
Or it is, yeah. We're underground here.
Yeah. But there is nice lighting. There's nice windows.
Yeah.
How did Royal Cat Records get started?
It started about 3 years ago. My partner, Kara, and I had always sold records, but in different venues. And she has this clothing store, Meow. Mm-hmm. And I had an antique store around the corner, Chat Noir, and I was just selling. I had the occasional bin of used records in there, and then I found out as the months and months went by, and I was thinking about actually about closing the shop, the only thing I was making money on was
the records.
The records. And that was like, yeah, that was like 3 years ago. And so I said, I'm going to fold this store up. Let's put a couple bins of records in the clothing store. And they've just taken over, so we made a little separate little sandwich board sign outside, and that's really all the advertising we've had for the store so mm-hmm. far. And now it's like half the store is records down here.
Where's the? I think I know where the Royal comes from. Where does the cat come from?
Well, everything seems like almost every business we start has a cat in the title.
Yeah,
and this is me, you know, Meow, and Chat Noir was Black Cat, and we collect antiques. We're antique dealers too, so we collect all these old Black Cat things, and we always kind of wanted to have a store called Black Cat Records, and I kind of let it be known that I was gonna have a store called Black Cat Records, and the word got to some guy who runs a record show in Toronto, And he had been like selling on eBay or something. He had a registered company called Black Cat Records.
Oh.
So the long and the short of it. And he sent me like a didn't get to that stage, but he kind of sent me a passive aggressive email. And I was like, I really want to have a store called Black Cat Records, but I said, but rather than, you know, drag it out, it doesn't really mean anything. And we wanted to be punk rock about it, and we wanted to do this thing really fast. So we just kind of brainstormed, and we're in the Royal City. It had to have cats in it, and Royal Cat Records sounds good. And now we have a little mascot with a cat with a crown on it.
He sent you a writ of I have my eye on you.
Yeah, it was kind of weird out of the blue, but because I didn't think anybody really knew of our existence at all. But
well, the occasion we're talking today is because Record Store Day is coming up.
That's right.
And you are taking part.
Yeah.
My question is, and it's come up online to a degree, there's actually some people who think Record Store Day is becoming too commercial.
Yeah, there's a lot of pushback
around
Record Store Day.
But it almost seems like, when it started, it must have been about 10 years ago when it started.
Yeah, this is the ninth year, I think.
But you can understand it. Records might have needed the help 10 years ago, but they don't seem to need the help anymore. Records seem to be doing pretty good on their own.
It's chugging along.
Yeah.
And we've doubled down on it ourselves just over the last year. But, and we love Record Store Day. We're like, this is our second official Record Store Day. We actually had our official opening of the space here, Royal Cat Records, on Record Store Day 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But because we weren't an official store, we couldn't use any of the branding or anything. But then we've done it for 2 years now, and we do really see a lot of people coming in and people who love vinyl, make it a special kind of holiday thing, and it's a great business day for us. But the success of Record Store Day and the success of the vinyl resurgence in general has kind of made a lot of people question the kind of the creeping corporate takeover of the day, in that a lot, whereas it was started out to be a celebration of independent record stores, now it's been lucrative enough that the big labels again are see a penny to be made, and so there's some criticism that some of the things that are released just for Record Store Day are maybe flooding the market with.
It's a very music business thing.
Really. Yeah,
like, it's always been part of the music business. When you're indie, you're golden. As soon as it catches on and becomes corporate, it's over.
The sellout begins.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there's a lot of grumbling from those quarters. And not from us. We love it. But
well, it's good promotion.
Yeah, it's still a great promotion. And it's without us having to actually do anything, people become aware of record stores through this industry-wide push. And the media picks up on it. And yeah, no complaints.
Mm-hmm. So in your store here, you don't just deal in previously enjoyed records. Do you still get the new stuff
too? Yeah, new and used. We have a really good mix. We started out just selling used records. And the thing that you realize, and I've realized that now myself because I've bought and sold my own record collection probably 3 times in the last 20 years, is that things that used to be common are no longer common, and things that you thought nobody wanted, everybody wants, because tastes change, and young people who didn't have to live through Phil Collins and Genesis in the 80s don't come to it with any preconceived ideas, so they want those records and etc. But so we thought, everybody comes into this store looking for certain classics and certain things, and you just can't get it, but you can get it new. So we started ordering new stuff, and now we do new releases, and we do stuff from local bands, and yeah.
In terms of, and this may be beyond your knowledge as the retailer, but just in terms of what gets reissued versus who gets to put out records, is it like, because I know Taylor Swift has a record version of her last album too.
That's right, yeah.
But they're also
the best-selling, second best-selling vinyl LP of 2015,
but not of all time.
Not of all time.
But But yeah, there's stuff like that. But is it becoming more of a thing where people are just, it's de facto, you'll release it on the iTunes, you release it on Spotify, you have your CD, and you also have your vinyl now?
I think it's definitely a must-do for even the biggest, what do you want to call it, mainstream acts to do that. And it always had a hip cachet, even when vinyl was dead. There'd be a big label act that would still force the label maybe to put out a record on vinyl, or they were a small band that made it big, and they were like, this is kind of still a thing we do, and we still have fans who are into vinyl, but now it's like everybody has to do it.
In Guelph, there's in terms of selling records, there's you, there's Beat Goes On. Beat Goes On has gone whole hog into vinyl now.
Not just CDs and DVDs.
It does seem like, I mean, if you go to HMV, if we're going to go really big, they have like books in there now and t-shirts and
that's true.
Baubles. It seems
That's partly a result of, in HMV's case, I believe that's partly a result of the ongoing death of the CD format, in that they were branching out into that sort of giftware in the same way that Chapters has, long before vinyl had its resurgence. And so now that vinyl's here, they already have half transformed themselves into...
Yeah, but I think it's fascinating though, because but I think it's fascinating though, because everyone's talking about the death of record stores. Not only that, the death of video stores.
Yeah,
but there's still the video store down here.
There is,
and it seems to be the independence that occurred. Yeah, that you know, Blockbuster is gone, Rogers Video is gone, but here's Thomas Video still, and there's a lot of little video stores like that around.
There is a. That's an aspect of the independent business model and the mom and pop shop that often eludes most people, is that they are able to fill in these little nooks and crannies of the economy because they're working with different model. They're working with maybe different margins, and they don't have like a top heavy structure where like Rogers is like, we have to have somebody who's the vice president in charge of, you know, he's going to take home $500,000 a year just for running a chain of video stores,
right?
Et cetera, et cetera. So all the profit there goes to the top instead of being, you know, whereas somebody in a small business can subsist on a lot less and just make a basic living wage from their shop.
And innovation must be key too, because when you're talking about those big businesses, you have 300 stores. It takes a while to make a single move.
That's true, yeah.
Versus you just have your store.
Yeah,
so
we can turn on a dime, and we can, if something isn't working, we can chuck it out, and we don't have to worry that we just spent like millions of dollars in a new form of display racking or something like that. Or, you know, we invested, we have a warehouse full of CDs that we have to sell before we can stop selling CDs. And yeah, definitely we are... we're faster and smaller in a lot of ways.
When did you know that, I mean, you said you had your antiques business and your records was the big seller. When did you know that it had shifted for you, that it had became less a niche thing and more of a mainstream thing?
It wasn't really until we had moved it into this new location that it really clicked for us, because it was a more visible thing. And because we gave it kind of a pride of place here in the shop, we really noticed how people were interacting, and we gave a lot more respect to the material too, instead of just having it kicking around in a couple boxes here and there. We did it out properly, and we have nice bins and little plastic sleeves on everything. And, you know, it looks nice. It looks sharp.
Your customers, are they record collectors and been doing this for years? Like I'm thinking of the High Fidelity type of guys, right? I'm sure you've seen that movie.
Sure, yeah.
And
you have to see that movie before you can open a record store.
But you know, since it is becoming mainstream, are you getting people sort of coming in and checking out records? Like maybe it's their first time buying records?
Oh, for sure, yeah. We have a huge range, and there are tons of guys, like boomer age guys, who maybe they've sold their, like me, they've sold their record collection, or maybe they've kept it. And they're filling in the blanks, or they're going back and buying things they used to have, and they know everything about classic rock or certain genres of music. And then we, all the way down, we have like a kid, maybe a first year university kid or a high school kid, boys and girls, and this is the first time they're buying a record. They just got a record player for Christmas. Their friends got a record player. They love music. What is this all about? Mm-hmm. And so you field a lot of questions about that too, but it's great to see people coming in and buying new vinyl, buying classic stuff, buying cheapy stuff, just embracing the format. It's wonderful.
Do they care? Like, I mean, obviously they care, but in terms of like these young people buying their first record, like, what are they like looking for something in particular, or are they just, is it just the experience and this new thing? And I guess kind of like when you go to a, I don't know, any like a bookstore, you're not necessarily going in for a book.
That's true.
For a
yeah.
book. You yeah. may be looking for.
I'm trying to think when the first time I went to a bookstore was. I, what was I thinking? I think that there's a lot of different reasons for the kids to come in too, and some are doing it as maybe they're, it's a maybe a bandwagon thing or a trend thing, but other people, they really love music or they really love a specific artist. Certainly when the Adele came out or the Taylor Swift records came out last year, I had a lot of people who were very directed and that's what they wanted. Mm. And they came, but it's their first time coming into a record store. And now they know, right? And it's like maybe it's the first time they bought a record and they only bought the record because they like Taylor Swift so much, etc. But you can't just have one. It doesn't stop there, I hate to tell you.
There have been a lot of different music formats. I'm wondering, do you think there might come a day where it comes back around to CDs? Or even something like tapes. Like tapes...
Yeah.
Tapes seem to be where records were 10 years ago because...
It's true. We sell a lot of tapes.
Oh, yeah, is that right?
We sell, well, it's a two-pronged thing. I sell old vintage tapes here, you know, cassettes from the 80s and 90s. And it's just fun. If you don't have a lot of space... Mm-hmm. And it's not, if you just collect music and you want to collect a physical artifact of something you love, having that little cassette cube or rectangle sitting on a little shelf in your little bedroom is pretty awesome. Even if you don't have a tape player, it's like, this is like a relic of when this artist made this thing and I now own it. And it's a three-dimensional thing that you can have that doesn't take up a lot of room. But the other thing is, especially young bands and new bands, they want to put out a record, mm-hmm. they want to put out vinyl, but they can't afford it. It's expensive now because all of the big companies are getting back in the vinyl game and there's not enough record pressing plants.
Yeah, that's right.
They're, you know, they approach one of these companies and they're like, we want to press 300 copies of our little 7-inch. And they're told it's 6 months waiting list. Get in line behind this Phil Collins reissue or whatever. And they're
or
like,
Adele,
hey,
and Taylor Swift.
Yeah, or Adele and Taylor Swift. And they said, let's put out a little cassette and people will have merch to buy at our show. And that's really all we want. We can still do the same thing. We can design it artistically just like we would with a record sleeve. And it's fun. Not as many probably... cassette players and Walkmans still out there as there are turntables, but maybe we're hidden there again.
Well, I know I still have my Walkman.
There you go.
It's in a box somewhere, but it's I have no need to dig it out.
No desire.
Well, I mean, I still have, you know, tapes, the odd tape. Yeah, and
I have an old van with a cassette player, so it's
there are a lot of, yeah, there are still old cassette players in cars, too. I don't think anyone's making mixtapes anymore.
No, yeah, the mixtape that all our hip-hop idols are making are digital files these days. But even last Record Store Day, there was a couple cassette releases for that, and now there's Cassette Store Day, which we've had here as well. Started in the UK, and I had a couple local bands come in and play songs from their recently released cassette EPs, so...
I guess that's where the people who think it's Record Store Day is coming too commercial.
That's true, yeah. There's all these spin-offs happening and all these anti Record Store Day movements.
For you, having a record store, what are some of the challenges you face? Because we talked about how great it is, people are getting back into music. But surely, I mean, as a small businessman, to a degree, it's still a niche business. You must still face your challenges.
There is a lot of challenges in Like any small business, especially retail, in supply and demand and fulfilling this kind of new world that we're living in vinyl-wise. I don't know how they used to do it in terms of having, a fully stocked record store with thousands and thousands of titles and just sitting there in your store waiting for that person to come in and buy the second album by this band who doesn't even exist anymore. Yeah. You've got to have it there for when they come in. And we're not like that. We're a lot smaller. We're a lot more curated. We try to keep things like a just-in-time model. You know, I have one copy of the record you want. If you want another one, you got to wait a week for my next delivery sort of thing. And definitely the other big challenge right now, especially with new vinyl, there's not a huge profit margin in vinyl, new vinyl to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through so many hands before it gets to us, and everybody takes a cut of it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not making a huge markup on it. And now with the US dollar, Canadian dollar thing going on, we just got this huge price increase on all this stuff. Everything from Led Zeppelin to you name it, it's just gone almost doubled in price, a lot of things. So that's going to be a huge challenge going forward until the, you know, this might be a few more years before there's any change in that situation. Which means we have to go back to sourcing used vinyl, which is also, now that everybody's back on the vinyl bandwagon, is becoming increasingly competitive there too. But
yeah,
huge challenge.
I remember at the Friends of the Public Library book sale, they have the vinyl table.
They do, yeah.
It's surrounded.
It was swarmed, right?
Yeah, you can't. That was the first night too. I doubt there's anything left on the second day.
There's always some gems there.
Well, even in, you know, the Value Village will have vinyl, and that's the right. thrift stores will have vinyl, right. And so I'm sure. How much time do you dedicate to digging through those piles?
That's kind of like my lifestyle anyways, like we're in, that's why we can do this. Like my partner and I we buy antiques, we buy vintage clothing, buy records, you know, everything in my house has come from an auction or a thrift store or some dusty warehouse somewhere. So I'm out there now. People are bringing us stuff, which is great. Vinyl is, you know, I looked at a couple miniature collections today and the word is getting out there, but it's tough to be out there digging and elbowing other collectors and dealers out of the way at all these places. But that's part of the fun too, because you're gonna find something unusual if you're out there enough. So,
that leads into the next question then. What makes owning a record store a job that you would rather do anything else but give up, that it's the perfect job for you?
It is. I think all of our growth as business people has been kind of like heading in this direction for decades now. And like I said, I've always sold records, but this is like the perfect storm for somebody who just loves to accumulate old things and to listen to music and to turn people on to new music. It's like, yeah, it's wonderful now.
And well, it's not just about the old music or the records for you. You're at that counter here. You have the Kazoo Fest booklets.
And, yeah, Kazoo Fest is coming up.
And so you probably have a pretty good ear to the local music scene. Is that fair?
I try to, but yeah, there's a lot, even in little Guelph. There seems to be a lot of things going on.
That's my
all
question.
The time.
It does seem to have changed quite a bit, because I've been in town here for almost 20 years between school and living here. It's changed a lot. I mean, I remember Constantine's doing, you know, house shows. That's how far back I go. So in terms of where you see, where's the Guelph music scene at now?
Are we at peak Guelph music? I don't know.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, there, it seems to me that there's more music than ever,
mm-hmm.
and more people make music than ever, but the unfortunate thing is people can't make money doing it enough.
Right.
My sense is that there are a million. Guelph has a really vibrant scene and it's fairly young, but I think that there's a scene like that in a lot of towns. As much as we like to say Guelph is like a music city or has a specific, because of all our festivals, has a specific emphasis on music and developing music. I think that there's a million Guelphs out there, and it's just so overwhelming. I worry that if it is a scene, in the classic sense, can it support itself and can it keep going, or will people just kind of like give it up? Are these people, young people are always the heart and soul of any of those scenes, and if they're not being remunerated somehow, how long will it last, and how long will they last as more or less full-time musicians, I wonder, and I worry about that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the future looks like? I mean, is it hard to tell? Because who would have guessed we'd be here
talking about vinyl records? Yeah. I wonder. I wonder if this is like a. I worry and think about it a lot, and I think about the backlash against Record Store Day. As much as it's a wonderful thing, where people come in, and you find all these wonderful things are coming out this Record Store Day too that are just have me excited about rare things that I've never seen before, or fun things like colored vinyl and picture discs and this sort of thing. But is it too much of a good thing? I don't know. Will it last forever? I don't know. Obviously, I have a lot invested in it as a business as a business model. But you know, I'm always going to collect records, and I'm always going to have a love for the form. But anybody's guess what can come down the pike.
Well, I'm sure you do know what your store will be doing for Record Store Day. Do you have anything special planned?
We don't. We have a little, a few sales and giveaways going on, and some door crasher prizes. But I don't have any live music right now scheduled. We had a DJ. DJ Chadillac was our man for the last two Record Store Days. So I'm not sure if that's going to happen again at the last minute. Or not. I'm also trying to put a zine together for Record Store Day, but that may or may not materialize in time for the day. We'll see.
It's harder than it looks. I did a zine workshop a couple of months ago. It's harder than it looks.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me, and this is something that's not just me. I've commissioned other people to do things, so I'm like trying to edit a thing together that is not just me sitting down at a table, cutting and pasting my own little rants together, so we'll see what happens, but it's fun.
Well, this may be the big question. It's also the final question, which is why I saved it for last, but what's that? In terms of why vinyl, why does it endure? Why are people so eager to get their hands on it again?
For me, it's always been the format. It's the format that I grew up with, so it's hard for me to get outside of that, and even at this late date, I'm only now starting to download the occasional thing, or actually put an old CD into my laptop and iPod and stuff like that. But so it's a trusted old friend for me. But I think the main thing that everybody talks about, and I kind of agree with, is the idea of having this physical format that is something you can hold in your hands that's large. CDs were always, everybody always complained about the CDs, and the artwork was smaller, and it looked like more like a piece of computer software or an appliance or something in these hard plastic cases. It's kind of a warm analog thing that has endured for, 75 years now.
Mm-hmm.
That is a way to share and enjoy and publicly enjoy music that is not rivaled really by anything else. So I think that's really the key to its appeal, continued appeal.
It almost seems like music got too easy to get.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Well, we're living in the free economy.
Yeah.
And everything is free, or you can steal it without repercussion, whatever you want to call that. And so, yeah, this is an investment you make. You say, I like this thing, I like this band, I like this performer, and I'm going to own it, and I'm going to carry it with me, and I'm going to put it on a shelf and look at it and take it out and play it and read the liner notes and everything we do. it's kind of a pushback against that. It's still, I think, you know, it's still not half of the music industry or anything. It's clawing its way back still. It's fantastic.
Well, your store is fantastic.
Ah, thanks.
It's definitely the record store you want to come to, I think. It definitely says new and old.
Yeah, a little bit of everything down here.
Well, we'll let people discover that for themselves. So, Brian Munn, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Adam. It's great.
That was Brian Munn of Royal Cat Records. You can visit the store 7 days a week at 10 Carton Street downstairs from 11 to 6 Monday to Saturday and 12 to 5 on Sunday. You can engage with Brian and Royal Cat on social media at facebook.com/blackcatvinyl or on Twitter at Royal Cat Records, or you can visit their website at royalcatrecords.blogspot.ca. To learn more about Record Store Day, you can go to recordstoredaycanada.com, and if you want to take part and visit a record store near you, that date, to keep in mind, is Saturday, April the 16th. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The theme music for Guelph Politicast is provided by the Crazy Pills and their song Break It Down, courtesy of the Free Music Archive. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. And stay tuned to Open Source's Guelph, because we've been on a roll lately with some big local interviews. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we'll have more city councillors, as well as Green Party of Ontario leader Mike Schreiner for our Earth Day show, and Guelph MP Lloyd Longfield at the end of the month. Go to opensourcesguelph.com to get more details about that. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. You can reach out to me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And you can donate to the Guelph Politico Patreon campaign at patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating, and thank you to everyone who's donated so far. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have another new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.